You're just seconds away from this Pete, Matt and Kimber podcast. In the event of an accident, every second is important. Fortunately, help is on the way thanks to RAC Rescue Helicopters, ready to take flight every hour of every day.
Guys, the lunchbox police are back. When we went to school, you just got a Vegemite sandwich, maybe a juice box if you were lucky.
Oh, no. Not us. No, he's like, he got antipasta.
I got a full spread.
You got leftovers is what you got.
I would go to school and I would pull my sandwich out and it would be dripping with olive oil from the jardinera. I may as well have had like one of those big red and white table setting things.
Yeah. And I would have spent my lunch money across the railway line from Carrington High School on things that I shouldn't have spent on, and then ask people for a bite through lunchtime.
You know, and I feel for parents because, like, I didn't care. When I was at primary school, it didn't take much to keep me alive. Let's face it, if I forgot to eat lunch that day, I was still able to go play at recess and I came home and I was fine.
Yeah.
But the parents have got it tough now because every time you go put something in your lunchbox, God forbid if you take a photo of it and put it online, you'll be slammed by thousands.
Yes.
Because you can't include nuts. You don't use that bread. Don't put in the, like, this.
Or it's too
choosy.
Fattening or it's too much sugar. You get in trouble for all that stuff.
It's judgy McJudgy.
It is.
There are certain times where we're not even allowed to actually put, like, anything bagged. You know, like the, you know, the
can't put it in disposable plastics.
No, like none of that gear either. Like it's,
right. There's a lot that goes into it.
I mean, I don't mind that if they're trying to teach the kids to, you know, use less environmentally destructive packaging. But
I think, you know, all of the things included, you're like, let's give kids healthy food, blah, blah, blah. But some days they're not going to eat anything but SpaghettiOs. And if that's what they want, just give them SpaghettiOs, right? Like do the best you can. You're doing good, parents. Pat yourselves on the back. But in New South Wales, unfortunately, a bit of a miscommunication's happened. The Cancer Council sent some leaflets to the school and said, maybe you want to distribute these to the children, letting them know that they should maybe, they've tried a Meat Free Monday campaign.
Okay.
Because, you know, the Cancer Council have looked at things and said there's strong evidence that eating some processed meats and too much red meat can lead to bowel cancer. So they're trying to encourage kids to not always have meat.
Gosh.
Except these leaflets that they sent.
Trouble.
Oh, mate.
Were then passed on to the families in the school newsletter, and it basically said, stop giving your kids ham sandwiches for lunch.
Right.
Hey, if we're cancelling cold cuts and red meat, I'm handing in my Italian card.
Yeah.
What? That's 90% of our staple diet.
I'm changing my name from Diktinsky to DeSonia.
And look, and because of the way the news cycle works, people just saw the outrage of, they're banning ham sandwiches. Right? Not quite how it played out, but look, they're banning ham sandwiches. And so parents have gotten really upset. The New South Wales Department of Education have said, look, we want to reassure people and ease parents' fears. There's no public school ban on ham sandwiches.
No.
But they have told them not to have ham sandwiches.
Moderation. Moderation in everything, right? That's what they're asking for, really.
I mean, the ham sandwich I thought was like the staple of growing up.
Yes, it is.
You know, isn't that all kids needed most
sandwich.
Of the time? Yeah. And because I was reading this article and I was like, you know, there were some parents in there complaining that when they had shown footage or like posted a photo of their kid having a ham sandwich in their lunchbox, other parents got stuck into them saying the ham could have diseases by the time it reaches lunchtime if it's in the wrong temperatures, and she had to justify that she'd added an ice pack.
I mean, this is the problem with all. I mean, you've seen the warning with the alcohol, and they're having one little sip of alcohol and it goes into the glass body, and it's very effective.
Yes, yeah.
But it's like, come on, man. People's got to live a bit, you
Matt,
know?
I don't think you can go on air and say that.
Oh, really?
He's a regular on the project, Husey, We Have a Problem, and made the grand final of I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. Heading to the Regal Theatre this Friday night with his new stand-up show, please welcome Nazim Hussain.
And Nazim Hussain. Regal Theatre, Perth Comedy Festival, Friday, May 6th. Tickets are available from livenation.com.au. How are you, mate?
Oh, I am so excited, guys. It is Eid, which is like Muslim Christmas, where we can now eat and drink and have coffee and also marital relations. But yeah, it's an exciting day.
Oh, is that the end of Ramadan, is it?
Yeah, the day after, the last day of Ramadan is our big Christmas day.
Where
Muslims are, you'll never find a happier Muslim than today.
Oh, I love learning new things. Tell us more about marital relations.
No. Well, it's where a man and a woman or a man and a man or whoever, you get cozy, guys, and you make children.
I can't.
Oh, now, Nazeem, look, we're so excited to see you. We know you're hot off the back of the Melbourne International Comedy Festival. And you are coming to Perth, which is great, with your show Hussein That. Now, we've been having a giggle amongst ourselves because we know that when they come to you and say, you're in the show, tell us what it's going to be about, you haven't written it yet. And as a result, when we looked up what your show was about, you've just written a nice little blurb that says, hey, it's Nazeem. I'm doing a stand-up comedy show. You should come see me if you've got time. I reckon you'll enjoy it. I'm not bad. And if you need further convincing, DM me your phone number and we'll work through the objections you might have. Are we still sticking with that, or are you just going to give us some idea of themes about the show?
Well, I wrote that when I didn't know what the show was, A, and B, when I thought I'm going to have to convince people person by person to come to the show. And I was like, you know, I was looking at a new tour. No one had bought tickets before you publicized it. So I thought I'm going to convince everyone. But now people are buying tickets. But I thought I'm still going to follow through with this promise. So I'm receiving daily DMs from people sending me their mobile number, and I do often call them back. It'll be a blocked number. So I've called back every single person that messaged me. Occasionally, I've left my number on. So now there are random people around Australia who have passed my number on to random businesses, and I get marketed to.
But you've got great health insurance.
Yeah.
So I get calls in the middle of the night. But Leah, I'm still following. If you DM me on Instagram with your phone number, I'll call you back.
If you record those conversations, you've got a show for next year.
Yeah, totally.
All right, hang on. I'm trying this.
Hey, Naz. Most people are drunk or tired when I call them, but, you know.
Hussein That? Now, the punctuation has a question mark at the end of it. What's the significance there, my friend?
I mean, it's one of the only puns I can make with my name. Who's saying that? Like, who's saying that?
Oh, yeah, right.
Educated.
Oh, my God.
Who's saying that? I see. Cute. My bad.
The only other pun title I've got with my name is Hussein in the Membrane.
Oh, that's good, though. It's good.
And I've used that, so I've got no more shows left, I think.
Hey, mate, Maddie and I were talking about the picture that's accompanied your press release here, because it's really hit us in the feels, because you're standing in front of a floral...
60s, 70s.
Yeah, right? Yeah. But the mug in particular you're holding, I reckon there's not a person alive listening to this show right now who either don't own this mug and have it somewhere in a wall unit or something like that, if wall units still exist. But it's the classic white mug with the gold rim around the top, and then it's got the orange band and little black lines above and below that. Where'd you find that thing? Is that something you had laying around?
Something from my mum's house. We grew up, drinking tea, coffee, Milo, Nesquik out of those mugs. It makes me feel like home.
Yeah.
They're comfort cups. And you can't have a machine coffee with that. You've got to, you know, spoon your coffee in there. It's just, I don't know, it just makes me feel warm and comfortable. And so when I'm holding that, I feel comfortable. I thought if the audience sees it, they're going to be like, oh, watching Nazeem do comedy just makes me feel like home.
Oh,
you know?
Man, totally. And that's the that's the show for 2023, comfort mugs with Nazeem Hussein.
I'm writing that down.
Done.
So there you go. A couple of things there. Go and see the show.
Busy. I can see what you've been doing.
Oh, I just sent him.
Are you DMing
Nazeem? I'm DMing Nazeem.
While we're talking to him.
Hey, mate, just chatting to you on the radio now, trying what you said, otherwise you're a liar, and there's my number.
I called up someone the other day, and they were like, oh, yeah, no, I'm just messaging you as a joke. I didn't think you'd actually call me. I said, well, here I am. You want to come? And he's like, oh, you as funny as Akmal. And I lied.
Who is?
Exactly. So sorry, Akmal, but I've basically said I'm funnier than you just to sell a ticket.
Well, if you want to find out, DM Nazeem or grab your tickets. They're available now from livenation.com.au. Nazeem Hussein That, Regal Theatre Perth Comedy Festival, Friday, May 6th. Nice to catch up with you, mate.
Thank you very much,
guys. Enjoy your party time and your coffee and all your fun stuff.
Oh, yeah. What do you mean by fun stuff?
Oh, the marital relations I've just learned about.
Comfort mugs.
Better get back to it.
See you, brother.
Now, my friends, as we know, relationships are a wonderfully complex thing that one tries to negotiate, I guess, for the rest of your life. If you've chosen to be with someone for the rest of your life, which I certainly have. But like all, married moments or relationships, we have our moments.
Marge? I'd like to be alone with the sandwich for a moment.
Are you going to eat it?
Yes.
Now, let me paint you this picture. We being the operative word, the whole family felt that we could smell wee-wee in the house.
Oh.
Now, it's not our pets because they don't do that anymore, but my father-in-law comes over with his little puppy, Harvey, who often cocks his leg at an inopportune moment.
Right.
So we thought, okay, somewhere in the house there's wee-wee. And you know that it's frustrating when you know there's a smell and you can't find it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, after a little while, I kind of gave up. I stopped sort of smelling it.
But well, you just thought, I'll just live with it.
Well, yeah, kind of.
Because I think you do get used to it after a little while.
I can't stop smelling it. If it's there, I can't stop until it's gone.
Well, I don't know if it's a female thing, but certainly my wife is like you, like bionic sense
of smell.
Yeah,
I smell it as soon as I walk in the house.
And so I'm trying to relax and my wife is, all I can hear is this... My wife walking around the house trying to find the smell, right? Tell you I love
you. And you can't rely on Florence to look for it.
Oh, no, no, no. Care. And then, so this is going on all night. And I finally get into bed and I'm just sort of reading. And my wife comes in, comes into the bedroom and she's still sniffing,
mm-hmm.
right? And at one point, she very, very, you know, in a very relaxed way, really, just lifts up the doona and gives me a quick sniff. Now, I'm very nonchalant.
Just sniffs you.
Now, I'm in my pajama pants. Now, they've had a couple of wears, don't get me wrong, but, you know, it's not like... And it was done with such nonchalance that I looked it up at her and I went, do you really feel like I've checked out that much that I'm now... going to the toilet in my pants and then just letting it drip dry.
She cannot identify the smell and there's a possibility
that
it's
it was
you.
Me.
I mean, amazing.
Some people may suggest that that's a real tipping point for a relationship, but I kind of feel like we've never been closer.
Yeah.
Because it was done with such a relaxed way. It was like, I know this is our future and I'm okay with that. And you know, great, it wasn't me.
Oh, wow.
I wasn't the source of the smell, but I did think for some people that might be like, wow, has that gone too far?
I love that she didn't even think to do it secretly. It was just so normal.
It was just
she
very
just went,
normal.
I'll just quickly give Matt's nappy a smell.
It was a bit like that.
Like when you put a kid up to your bum.
And, you know, put a bit of talcum powder on my bum. It was like that.
Oh, I can't even imagine that. As you know, James and I are like, we won't even pass wind in front of each other.
No.
I don't know how you do it. Honestly, mate, our house is a wind tunnel.
I don't know how you do it. I mean, I can't bear the idea. Because look, there are plenty of things in life that are trying to take away the romance from your relationship.
Well,
we don't need to give it any more.
Case in point, getting sniffed for wee-wee.
Yes, right? There's so many ways that your relationship can become unsexy, and I think that's one of them. And James and I have both kind of, we just know that the relationship would essentially be over if it got to the point where one of us was using the bathroom, the toilet, without... the door being closed.
Oh, God.
Even if the door was slightly ajar or if the door's open, if the person's... I can't even fathom the idea of someone using the bathroom in front of you. Like, I could never just brush my teeth at the counter while he's on the toilet. Like,
I think that was the day that I realised Liz was the one.
Yeah. When you can have a perfectly normal conversation about the price of electricity bills... whilst doing a number two.
That is
love.
I don't know, legitimately. And I suppose for us, like, you know, after you have your first kid, let alone three of them, it's fair game. Like, everything's fair. You've seen enough stuff where you're kind of like, we're so comfortable. But, the door open thing came well before our first kid did. And it was, And we're just having a casual, having a casual conversation.
How are you still finding each other sexy? How do you still want to get amongst it?
I don't know, you sort of...
I mean, because there's that
the way
point
you sit
where,
on
like,
the toilet.
I'm desperately hoping that, like, James never has any kind of, like, skin condition or anything where you have to go, hey, can you look at this and give a medical assessment? Like, because if those sorts of things are the things for me that I go, nope.
Oh, I've been asked to do some things that would make your hair curl.
Tell us about your deal breakers, your tipping points,
it is that sort of tipping point, isn't it? It's at that moment in your relationship where you're like, I don't know how we're going to overcome this. People obviously do.
Yeah,
Jacob in Cloverdale, what was your tipping point, mate?
I talk to the missus all the time while she's doing her general business.
Oh, really?
Hang on. So you mean like through the door, like she's using the bathroom and you're talking to her through the door?
Nah, so the toilet's separate to the bathroom. We keep toothbrushes away from that.
Yes.
But, yeah, no, nah, well, she's got the door open a little bit. She prefers not to be disturbed, but...
The door's
yeah,
open.
Doesn't mind a good chit-chat.
Doesn't like to be disturbed, but doesn't mind a good chit-chat. Okay.
Hey, that's a good place, I reckon, Jake. You do some of your best work there.
Oh, for sure.
Are you not grossed out by like, oh, yeah, okay, well, we can go out for dinner, kaplunk? I mean, what, like, what conversation's happening around
Well, at least
poo?
You know they're ready to go.
I cannot cope.
Tiffany's in Forestdale. Tiffany, come on, what's your tipping point?
Hey, guys. So my partner is totally for it. He's comfortable as, just like Jacob, like he'll have a good old yarn.
Yeah.
But the thing is, he'll video chat me. So he'll just pick up the video chat. Hey, babe, how's your day going?
Oh, FaceTime you from the toilet.
Yeah.
Oh. And it has that echoey sound. You know, don't you, by the echoey sound that they're in the toilet.
Oh, 100%. And the white tiles behind them.
Yes.
See, how many people in your life would you be comfortable while you're on the phone to them going, oh, sorry, I've just got to just keep talking to me. I've just got to go to the toilet while I'm chatting. Oh. I mean, you would hang up the phone or you would find a reason to call them back. So at what level does your relationship change where you think this is appropriate to do with the person that I also like to make love with? I can't get my head around that.
I'm talking to a few people on the loop. All right. Joanne, hi.
Hi.
What was the tipping point for your relationship, Joanne?
So in the past I've had problems with hemorrhoids and I had a really sore lump in that area.
Yes.
And I made my husband have a look for me.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
And how'd we go, Joanne? Did we find what we were looking for?
I mean, did you not know what you were dealing with, Joanne? Did you just think you were just going to ask him how, like, to assess how bad it was? Or?
Well, so the previous time wasn't like that. It wasn't a sore lump. It was actually just I found blood.
Right, yes.
This time it was a big sore lump. And I was, like, a bit freaked out. And I'm like, okay, honey, I need you to have a look for me because I don't know what I need to do.
Joanne, wow. What does hubby do for a living? He's not a proctologist, I imagine.
No, he's a mainframe operator, but
but it seemed like a good idea at the time. Look, and don't get me wrong, Joanne, I mean, power to you. All of your relationships sound really solid and they sound like they can recover from anything. But my God, if I can avoid any of these situations, I will absolutely be doing that.
Well, as we know, the cracks will appear.
Finally back after a couple of weeks.
Riding cowboy.
It's cathartic. It's cathartic to have this thing.
Ooh, stop it.
You good?
Yeah.
You get another one.
Oh, just crud.
One for the other cheek. Down boy. Oh, all right. Here is how this game works. I've got three different bits of audio here. They're montages. They're made of songs. They're made of quotes from movies. They're made of moments in time, all sorts of stuff. I'm going to play them for you too. You're going to listen to them, and closest to the pin, best of three of what year you think that they are from, wins the game. Kimber currently on 8. Matty on his way back on the comeback trail.
Yeah.
You're at 5, mate.
I'm at 5, yeah.
You're at 5.
Okay.
Here is your first one.
Massive quantities of radiation have apparently been released in an accident at the Chernobyl power station in the Ukraine. But I see your true colors
shining through. What's so dangerous about a character like Ferris Bueller is he gives good kids bad ideas.
Bueller.
I'm going in hard.
Oh, okay.
86.
Wow.
And it was perfectly timed to that little bit of Spanish flea.
And it clearly a part of a time in our lives where people had never heard of Chernobyl and were calling it Chernobyl.
Chernobyl.
The radiation in Chernobyl, because they'd never heard of the area before.
No. For whatever reason. Of course, Ferris Bueller's Day Off. What a great film if you've never seen that before. What was the other bit?
True Colors.
Cyndi Lauper.
I'll go 85 because I feel like it was earlier.
Yeah, it wasn't. It was 86.
Bugger, on the money.
As soon as I heard that story, for some reason. Well, it was a pretty big story.
Huge story.
Yeah.
Chernobyl.
Well, if you were more than 6 at the time.
Yeah. I was 16. I mean, really? I don't know. We're hanging around Beckenham. Hey, Kenno, hear about what happened in Chernobyl?
You were ahead of your time, Matty.
You going to eat that?
is your second one?
Me and Norma here to drive these remotely controlled bodies called avatars.
You would not believe your eyes if 10 million fireflies.
Yo, Taylor, I'm really happy for you. I'm going to let you finish. But Beyonce had one of the best videos of all time.
Oh, it still hurts. It still hurts.
Even I know. Was that Kanye getting up when Taylor Swift was meant to be getting an award?
Yeah.
Correct. Well, she did get the award. She did get it. And he was like,
okay, I'm going to go in early.
I've got no idea. So.
Well, that means so he's just going to jump on the back of whatever I do.
That's what I'm planning to do.
I'm going 2012.
Oof.
2012. I'm basing that on I remember going to see Avatar.
Mm.
I hadn't seen it. And me and Claire at the time were the only people in Perth who hadn't seen Avatar.
Claire, oh my God.
And we went together and they were only doing like one screening a day by that stage.
Did you see it in 3D? Because that was the big thing about Avatar. You had to go and see it in 3D. Yes. James Cameron.
Yeah.
Second one's on its way soon.
Oh, took him a while, didn't it? Sam Worthington will be, you know, elderly by then.
But in that world, you can be whatever you want. That was the whole point.
That's a good point. Yeah. So 2012, Kimber, Maddie.
I'll go 2013.
Okay.
I think that's going to give you a win there because it's given you such a breadth of area.
Chances. Yeah.
Is that just purely a guess?
As I said, I didn't know, so I either go later or earlier than Kimber.
Yeah.
And as we know, I always go later.
Extraordinary.
Mm.
Extraordinary stuff here. It was 2009. Kimber, which means we go to a tiebreaker, baby.
Oh, wow.
Yes, tiebreaker.
It is time to change the marriage law. It is time to remove discrimination. It is time for equality.
Where are we going? Dunkirk. There's no hiding from this sun.
Classic song.
Oh, yeah. Love a bit of Latin.
Okay.
I've written down a year.
Good.
Penny Wong there at the beginning, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What was the one in the middle?
Dunkirk. It was the one-shot movie, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, we did do the whole film in one shot, but there were a couple of long shots in there. Mm. As in 1917, which I saw recently. Great film.
Oh, okay. There you go.
Okay, we're writing down our number?
Yes.
Okay. We're showing you.
All right,
this idea. Matt, off air, you just said, hey, why don't we write our numbers down?
Yeah,
so that we can't, ride the back of each other's answers.
What
and
did
I think
you
it's a good
down?
Idea. I went with 2016.
I went 2019.
Oh, guys. It was 2017.
Oh, yes!
Well done.
Indeed. Well done.
Penny Wong always throws me because I saw Avatar with Penny Wong. So
honestly, it's creeped me out. I've even texted Claire to say, hey, dude, without Formal looking it up, what year do you reckon? Here's what he said. 2014. See? See?
They must be an ad break over there. He's got time to text you. 96. Hope you're doing well, mate.
Look, welcome to the show. If you're new to the show, Pete, Matt and Kimber, you don't know what we're about. We're three peeps who have grown up in Perth.
Yes.
We're from here. And I think it's fair to say we've all grown up in like quite humble families, right? Families from humble beginnings, working families,
working
that
class,
kind of stuff. Yeah. Working class peeps.
Hands with calluses.
Yeah,
yes,
right?
Yes,
there you go.
Yes.
Working class peeps and you know, the kind of families who, when we were at home, we were home alone quite a lot as kids because both of our parents went to work.
Yes.
Like, bit of that going on. Now, I know that right now there's a great divide and it seems like the gap is getting much bigger between the rich and the poor.
Yeah.
And we hate that because that kind of pushes our buttons a bit, right? Mm. We don't like that the rich are getting richer and the gap is getting nasty and we just sort of feel like, working people should not be homeless and should be okay.
Mm-hmm.
They should be getting through life. But it was making me think, like, when we were younger, and I don't think that we weren't poor. I never felt that we were poor, but it was just that sort of vibe when we were a bit younger. That's just how it was. You had your rich families, and if you weren't one of them, you were poor.
Yeah.
And there was occasionally you'd get, like, a family luxury.
Uh-huh.
And family luxuries are different for everybody, right? Like, the family luxury in our home was if we got sugared cereal.
What were you eating if you weren't? Like just
cornflakes and rice bubbles.
Okay, yep.
Was the staple breakfast cereal in our home.
Yep.
That was pretty much for life. And every now and then, it was like hashtag lotto win. If my parents rocked up, mum would rock up and we've got Fruit Loops.
Okay.
Like it was a very special occasion or it was something like that was a luxury item for our family. We were like, things are going okay.
Did you ever get the variety packs?
Ooh, variety pack. I mean, we only got that if we got to go on a vacation.
Yeah, right.
And the vacation was in a caravan to Durian Bay.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? So like that was the story of our lives. But for everyone, they've got the family luxuries. Like for some people, it was just about every time you moved into a rental, if you had clean carpet, it was like, woof, hello, it's pretty fancy. Would like to know, if you grew up poor, what was your family luxury? What was the thing that happened in your life that you thought, oh, we're having a moment?
I mean, as you say, we never felt that we were poor. My dad worked, my mum worked. But I remember, and this is so sad, the sound of my mum walking up the hallway and the clinking of ice because she'd put, she had like a beautiful drinking jug.
Mm-hmm.
It was just water.
Oh, but you got
ice. It was iced water.
And you felt fancy
and
pants.
And we thought it was really fancy pantsy on a hot Perth night to hear mum coming up the bloody hallway with iced water.
But you know what too? I bet when you think of that now though, still warms my heart.
Absolutely happiness.
It still makes me feel happy. Yeah. Like kids now, they don't really understand the value of money because I guess from the instant they start school, they're told they need an iPad or a laptop or whatever.
Yeah.
And we never had that stuff. But it still makes me feel nice when you think of those little things that were luxuries.
Well, do you remember going to the video store? The video store had the deals, right? So you could get like that, yes, kids, the VHS, a tape. And it had the deals. And I remember if, like, occasionally we'd go to the video store, maybe once or twice a month on a Friday night. And usually it was you had the deal where you get the one new release and the others are weeklies.
Yes.
Cost you $10. Yep. And the weeklies are the ones you've seen them half a dozen times. So it was just cool to get a video. But occasionally dad would chip in a few more dollars and you'd get to pick three new releases.
Oh, my God.
Oh, wasn't that just fancy pants?
And that thing of like you had to watch it because, oh, my God, would your parents go absolutely berserk if you did not watch the movie that
night?
Like you didn't watch the overnight release in time.
Well, you got to take the tape back. Otherwise, they put an APDB out on you.
Naomi, hello.
Hi.
Hey.
Naomi, tell us, if you grew up poor, what was your family luxury?
Well, I was the youngest of five. I grew up on a farm. And mum used to make a lot of our clothes.
Mm-hmm.
So I used to get all the hand-me-downs.
Of course.
I'd get my own clothes made and then I'd get all the hand-me-downs from everyone. So I was hardly ever got any new clothes. So if I got new clothes, it was so exciting.
And it would be like a birthday and they'd go, this is your birthday and Christmas present,
Naomi.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Do you remember one item in particular?
Yeah, we went into the local co-op. And I saw this skirt that I really liked. And mum said, oh, no, I can make one. And I got really upset. She said, I can make it so much cheaper. And I got really sad. And she eventually went and got it on APRO.
Is that like a lay-by or something?
Yeah.
Oh.
And then she bought it for me.
Oh, that's gorgeous.
And you know what? That was the times where you could make it cheaper. You absolutely cannot make it cheaper now. Not even close.
You probably can't.
Alana in Dayton, what was yours?
Hello, my beautiful mother used to give us every quarter, she used to give us $5 and we could fill up a whole garbage bag at the op shops full of anything we wanted. And my favourite toy was the strawberry shortcake. I got a strawberry shortcake pencil case and I never, ever felt like I did without. I had everything I wanted.
Doesn't it make you, it warms your heart. Even you saying strawberry shortcake, you just got me excited because it reminded me, strawberry shortcake, if you guys don't know, you used to be able to scratch her face and she smelt. You could like scratch her. And you know, Alana, you can actually buy a strawberry shortcake at Big W. They've come back in fashion.
Oh, have they?
Oh,
and it's
hello.
The same like 1982 version.
Oh, that's my vintage.
You can go and get her. You can go and get her, babe. She's there.
I was so spoiled. I was so happy.
Alana, if you do go, can you film yourself and send us the film of you seeing the strawberry shortcake?
I think my kids will be hiding.
Oh, very good.
There you go. Even just op shopping these days doesn't feel the same as it did once upon a time.
No, you can't fill up a Santa sack for $5.
Well, no, we were talking about this just the other night. It's like op shops are savvy now. They'll go on eBay and have a look at what that secondhand stuff is going for, and they'll compete with the price.
But that breaks my heart because the people that are shopping there can't afford $500 for a mid-century modern.
It's not meant to be a
dining table.
No.
Yeah.
Hey, Brenda.
How you going?
Good, mate. What have you got for us?
Well, back in the day, this is about 50 years ago, there was no such thing as family tax benefit. It was child endowment.
Yeah.
Back then, for two kids, you would get, I don't know, like $19 or something. So me and my sister, it would be a strawberry milkshake that cost 20 cents.
Oh, yes.
And how often do you think you got the strawberry milkshake, Brenda?
It was once a month, and that was our go-to. Today, I can't stomach a strawberry milkshake because they're way too sweet.
Mm.
But back in the day, it was made of the real stuff, so they were awesome. It wasn't as sweet and thin. But, yeah, that was our once a month.
Oh.
In the big aluminium cups.
Yeah. And the froth. Oh, yeah.
You go into Holly's in Kmart or the Coles cafeteria and make it up for you.
Yeah, and they'd have the good chips too, the ones that were crinkle cut.
Oh, those crinkle cut.
Yeah, the crinkle cut that held on to the salt.
So, and then you put so much vinegar
great
on it, they fall through the bag.
Man. Life sucks now.
Yeah, come on, ScoMo. Come on, Albo. Pete, Matt and Kimber. Now, it's always interesting, you live in a certain time and you think that your time is the most dangerous, the most crisis-filled, that it was never like this. Mm-hmm. And then you look back in history and go, actually, human beings haven't changed very much at all.
No, it's just when we were younger, we felt like we had less responsibility and better lives.
Well, that's right.
Because we did.
And I was looking at a story the other day about sort of workplace workplace deals things that you get through work. And one of them was having...
Fringe benefits.
Well, yeah, conditions.
Yeah.
Like having menstruation days off.
Like was that a thing?
It is a thing in some countries. So, I'm menstruating.
I'm just taking tips.
But, I make the point because it seems like, that's a modern thing that we're trying to get to. My point being that I'm looking at this thing. It's a 3,200-year-old stone tablet from the Egyptian times.
How did you get that in here?
I don't know. I got it past the security. It's from the year 40 of Ramses II's reign. And what the tablet is, it's really banal. It's a workman's register.
Yeah.
What's that mean?
Written into the tablet, like people, checking into work. So it's got the names of 40 workers, like a Horneter, who on month 2 of summer, day 23, had a day off with his boss.
Okay.
And he's obviously a real suckhole, this guy, because on day 24 of the same month of summer, he also had another day off with his boss. But then a spring day 16, his daughter was bleeding.
Oh, so he gets
so
the
he
day
get,
off.
He got the day off because his daughter was menstruating.
Oh, I'm sure he was just really taking care of her.
And he's another old mate here, Horimyan, winter, day 8, was given the day off to brew beer.
Wow, this sounds amazing.
Maybe we haven't
that,
gone
Big Brother for a really long time then. People have been following our every move and keeping track of
it
forever.
But quite, they got days off for building their house. They got a day off for wrapping the corpse of their mother. quite a few mother
I love
was
that it's
ill.
The same thing too. Like you get a day off if you've got your period, but you also get a day off if you have to wrap your mother in cotton and bury her.
But I mean, pretty progressive, really. They're getting more days off for more stuff than we are. I thought that was fascinating.
It is fascinating.
To find more awesome podcasts, check out our listener app. And to find out more about how RAC Rescue Helicopters help rescue West Aussies on the roads, bush trucks and seas across WA, check out rac.com.au/RAC Rescue.